Booster.
Go.
Retro.
Go.
Vital.
We're go fly.
Guidance.
Guidance go.
Procedures.
Go.
Capcom.
We're go fly.
Launch control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
This is Space Talk, a weekly program that highlights America's space program and what's new in space flight from around the globe. And now, with the past, present, and future of space exploration, here is Jim Behnke.
Well, greetings, everybody, on Florida's Space Coast, home of the most skilled aerospace workforce in America. I'm Jim Behnke, and this is the May 7th, 2011 edition of Space Talk, brought to you by Space Florida, committed to expanding Florida's aerospace enterprise. Well, it looks like we're mere moments away from a Space Talk program first, and that is actually having a launch from Cape Canaveral Air Force Station during the program. A rare treat for everybody here on a Saturday afternoon. Certainly for me as your host to be able to talk about a live launch. We have an Atlas V rocket out at Cape Canaveral at Complex 41, very near the opportunity to launch this morning or this afternoon at 2:10 or in about 2.5 minutes from now. The Atlas V rocket carrying a early missile warning satellite for the Pentagon, a brand new generation of such spacecraft, about the first one about to take its maiden voyage into orbit today. The launch yesterday canceled because of bad weather. Of course, that's not the case today. It couldn't be a more perfect day for a launch here from the Cape. Sunshine and certainly warm skies and warm air all across the Space Coast. It was a perfect day to be out on the beach and watch a launch from Cape Canaveral. Atlas V rocket today lifting off is going to take about 43 minutes to deliver its payload. We should have it in the sky visible for quite a while until the humidity gets it into the fog and the haze of the day. But everything going well with the countdown today. After they had scrubbed yesterday for weather, they went through their 24-hour recycle and have had no problems getting everything ready to go again for today. And again, the weather absolutely perfect. Rockets right now all up to flight pressures and being secured for launch. Now about a minute and 28 seconds away from launch. This Atlas V rocket is a configuration where it's just the first stage engine all by itself, the Russian-built RD-180 engine, and then the Centaur upper stage. There are no solid rocket boosters on this flight, so you'll just see the orangish flame coming from the base of the Atlas booster. It'll take from liftoff about a minute and a half to reach the speed of sound, and about 4 minutes or so before the first stage is complete with its job and separates from the rocket. Now less than a minute away from the launch, scheduled launch, of our Atlas V rocket, again, lifting off from Complex 41, one of the more northern launch sites, certainly the most northern launch site at the Cape. The only site further to the north than that is the Space Shuttle Pad at the Kennedy Space Center, now less than 30 seconds away from the launch of our Atlas V rocket. If you've not pulled over and you're on the roads, do so at this time. Be sure and get a good view. Don't have any accidents here. They're giving the final goes for launch. Everything go. We're coming down to less than 20 seconds from launch. This Atlas V standing out of pad 41 about to begin a 43-minute satellite delivery mission at 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Engine ignition and liftoff. Liftoff of the Atlas V rocket. Atlas V rocket off the ground, cleared the tower. And now on its way, a 43-minute satellite delivery mission begun from Cape Canaveral Air Force Station. And again, just slowly and just beautifully carrying the spacecraft as it clears the tower and begins its journey into orbit, climbing straight up and then eventually arcing out over the Atlantic Ocean to the east. The Atlas V rocket, again, first stage engine, single RD-180 engine firing at full thrust. No solid rocket boosters today. It doesn't need it. And then the Centaur upper stage will continue to carry this thing on its way. We'll continue to monitor this launch as we head more toward into the meat of our program today. And but we'll just take some views here. Should have a great view of this rocket along the Cape, especially closer to Cocoa Beach and Cape Canaveral, and certainly along the Kennedy Space Center area, Titusville. Great views of the being shown here on their satellite coverage of the rocket camera looking back at the Cape. And the sound, of course, that unusual Russian throttling sound, that it's a little different sound, a little different crackle than some of the other engines. Without the solid rocket booster sound to mask it, it gives it a really interesting sound as it crackles out over the Cape. So there we go. We're now, let's see, about 1 minute and 50 seconds into the launch so far, well past the speed of sound and the point of maximum aerodynamic pressure. And that's always a good sign to see the rockets survive that part. It's the part of the flight into launch, into orbit, where there's the most stress on the vehicle and the one of the more difficult aerodynamic spots. If you can get through that, it's literally smooth sailing all the way uphill. Of course, you want to have that engine keep working hard for about another 2 minutes or so, a little less than 2 minutes. And at that point, depending on your sky conditions and your sun angle and exactly where you are, you may have a good view of it. Certainly, if you've got binoculars, you have a great view of it as this Atlas rocket, the first stage, main engine cuts off, and about 6 seconds later, it separates the first stage from the second stage, and then the Centaur ignites. And so, as we continue to watch this and keep an eye on all phases of our program today, I want to let you know that with this launch today, we can talk about our next launch from the Cape. The next launch from the Cape, always brought to you by United Space Alliance. Innovation you can trust, performance you can count on. And USA team is certainly at the heart of the next launch, which will be Space Shuttle Endeavour from the Kennedy Space Center. That launch now set for no earlier than May 16th at 8:56 in the morning Eastern Time. If you hadn't heard, in the last 24 hours or so, NASA did delay the mission basically another week. The problem that delayed the launch April 29th, they're continuing to troubleshoot. They've made some repairs. They made some replacements of some hardware on the vehicle. But the electronic black box that they replaced with the one that failed, they're still not sure if it's the black box itself that failed or if it's something in the wiring nearby that caused the black box, the load control assembly, what it's specifically called, to fail. And so until they make that determination, they're continuing to troubleshoot. They continue to want to have some more time to look at the wiring in the vehicle and such. And by the way, now the Atlas first stage separating from the second stage of the rocket. The Atlas has fallen away. The Centaur stage getting ready to start up. And once we get done with that, we can pretty much let the Atlas team do their job for the next 40 minutes or so. And now we're waiting for and jettison of the fairing. So at this point, all the major goals of the Atlas flight now complete as we head toward orbit here in another 40 minutes or so. So again, going back to the Endeavour mission. Endeavour set to fly no earlier than May 16th at 8:56 in the morning. They're going to do some more troubleshooting. There will be a meeting with managers again on Monday, and then they will have a press briefing Monday afternoon to continue to look at the flight. So that gets us through the first part of our show today. It's a successful launch so far, but we'll keep our fingers crossed until the team has safely delivered the satellite to orbit. When we return from this break, we're going to listen on another launch back 50 years ago, Mercury, Alan Shepard's Mercury flight, as it was heard on the radio 50 years ago. We're going to replay that tape for you in the next couple of segments as we commemorate everything. So Space Talk, sponsored by Space Florida. Glad to have you along. I'm Jim Banky. You're listening to WMMB.
With everything you need to know about America's space program, here is Jim Behnke.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to Space Talk, brought to you by Space Florida. Well, this past Thursday marked the 50th anniversary of America's first man in space. Alan Shepard took his 15-minute hop into the history books, flying a suborbital arc over the Atlantic Ocean, about 300 miles downrange. It came upon the heels of the Soviet Union orbiting its first satellite, some first animals, and just a month earlier, in April of 1961, Yuri Gagarin became the first human to fly into space. So this was America's response. And I intended to play this for you. In fact, loyal listeners, if you were here, heard us last week, we were probably going to do a pre-recorded show this week, and because my son was graduating from college, we had a death in the family this week. My Aunt Jan passed away, and so we had to send some family members to Phoenix for the funeral. It disrupted everything, and so with everything else going on, I wound up staying here. And but I still want to play this for you. It's a great recording of the way it was listened to on the, I believe it was the Mutual Radio Network. It prominently includes the voice of the late Marty Caden. Martin Caden, a good friend, a mentor of mine, and although he wasn't the first one to introduce me to this particular recording, he certainly did provide me with a copy of it at one point as well, and I just thought it would be great to celebrate the 50th anniversary, and now to have heard just this Atlas V launch. This is the way it used to be done, folks. We're going to play this in two parts and take you through this first segment. And with that said, here's the way it sounded along the Space Coast on the Mutual Radio Network 50 years ago this past Thursday, the launch of Alan Shepard.
This is Martin Caden at Cape Canaveral. We are only minutes from sending America's first man into space. 7,000 feet across me, across the Cape, a Redstone rocket tower is 83 feet high. At its top, the manned spaceship of Project Mercury with astronaut Alan Shepard sealed inside. The 33-ton rocket is poised to hurl America's first man into space at 5,000 miles per hour. Alan Shepard will rocket to 115 miles above the Earth. He will weigh nearly 1,000 pounds from the punishing acceleration of his giant booster rocket. Then, for several minutes, this man will be weightless, soaring up and over in a giant arc through space. As his one-ton Mercury spaceship re-enters the Earth's atmosphere, it will slam with brutal force into the air, and Shepard's weight will increase to a wicked 2,000 pounds or more. He will be momentarily helpless. His spaceship will heat up and glow a brilliant red from friction with the air. If all goes well, he will be back on the surface of the Earth alive and sound only 15 minutes after he blasts off from the Cape in front of us. At this very moment, a plume of white vapor streams from the Redstone. A sheet of ice surrounds the liquid oxygen tanks. Pressures have built up within the powerful rocket that will hurl Shepard through space with more than 1 million horsepower. The rocket is poised and ready. Shepard is ready. The missile range and recovery forces are ready and waiting. We are only moments away from history.
Here at Cape Canaveral, the 83-foot-tall Mercury Redstone rocket with astronaut Alan Shepard aboard. He's been there several hours now, up on top of the rocket in the escape capsule, ready to make a rocket ride some 15 minutes in length down the testing range here. Standing right beside the capsule is an escape crane that he can duck into. The liquid oxygen vapor still streaming out the side of the rocket as it stands here in the morning sunshine. The end product of work and hope of some 10,000 people. America's first manned rocket shot. This is Richard Bate, Forward Observation Post.
Next to Herb Kaplow, stationed at the forward medical area, which will be a critical area if there is a sudden capsule abort at takeoff. Herb Kaplow.
Helicopters are preparing to take off at this moment to circle about in the eventuality that astronaut Shepard must be ejected early in the flight and that the capsule will land in the immediate vicinity of Cape Canaveral or in the waters just offshore. There are relatively few people here, but those that are here are ready to act if something goes wrong and the astronaut has to be brought back here for treatment. Medical facilities are in this former Bomark blockhouse. Among the few people standing somewhat nervously here now is First Lieutenant Dolores O'Hara, the 27-year-old Air Force nurse who has been working with the astronauts. She attended Shepard early this morning in Hangar S. Miss O'Hara of Portland, Oregon, has been holding beads, counting the rosary. Trevor Kaplow at the forward medical area.
Correspondent Charles von Frent is stationed near the Mercury Project Control Center, the brain center of this first American attempt to put a man in space. Here is Charles von Frent.
This bleacher scene isn't New York's Yankee Stadium, Chicago's Comiskey Park, or Los Angeles's Coliseum, but the 300 reporters, photographers, and technicians here are more excited and tense than any baseball fan. Reporters from all over the United States, plus 62 newsmen from 12 foreign countries are present. Some pace about, some sit ramrod straight, staring at the launching pad where the Redstone sits. This is Charles von Fremd at the press site.
Martin, there are 2 minutes and 40 seconds roughly to go. Will you take it?
Well, this is the most exciting moment that we've ever seen at Cape Canaveral. The concept of a man actually in that space capsule 7,000 feet away from us is almost too much to believe. We're at 2 minutes and 40 seconds and holding at this very moment. The cherry picker stand, the emergency stand, in case there is any danger, directly on the pad is still poised by the capsule.
Stand by to resume count.
We are standing by to resume the count, and which should take place at any moment. And there are 10,000 people, 10,000 human beings, all working actively at this very moment to support 37-year-old astronaut Alan Shepard in this epical attempt to race into space. At the central control building across the Cape, in a room known as the Green Room, the nerve center of Cape Canaveral, there is one man who hopes he will not have to do a job today. The range safety officer, in case something goes wrong, will have to destroy this rocket, but there is an automatic escape system on top of that Redstone, an automatic system that has been proven out superbly in every test so far, giving Shepard the best possible chances.
Minus 40 seconds and counting.
2 minutes and 40 seconds and counting. We are 2 minutes, 40 seconds and counting. Crash boats are ready off the Cape right now. Fire trucks are poised. There are helicopters in the air. Overhead, there are F-106 fighters, at least one with an astronaut aboard, who is now watching this shot from the air. The Redstone has now stopped goxing. There is no longer a plume of white vapor coming from the count.
Telemetry recording zone.
Here we are, 2 minutes from the countdown. The telemetry recorders are on. There goes the cherry picker now, moving back from the rocket. The emergency escape system, the stand to pick the astronaut off the capsule, is now moving back. We are that much closer to the launch at this very moment. Ike Pappas, take it.
We're just about to pick up the count, Martin, the countdown into history. I think that people here are finally realizing that this is it. This is the real thing, that there's no turning back or stopping it now. There is a man in that capsule. And after the years of training, the frustrations, the work, and the meetings, this is it. They're finally about to launch a man into space. He is going to be able to tell us what it's like, and we will be waiting and listening anxiously for that story. Let's take it down to the countdown.
We're going, it's last 60 seconds.
60 seconds and counting.
60 seconds and counting. 1 minute until history will be made. 1 minute until history. We are waiting now. The Redstone stands ready to go inside the capsule. Shepard, of course, is a part of that capsule. He is poised. The emergency switches are ready. Everywhere on Cape Canaveral, the tension has built up to an almost unbearable pitch. The Redstone has now stopped. She is poised. She is fueled. She is pressurized.
T-minus 30 seconds.
Hey, Roger. Periscope has retracted.
Martin Shepard is communicating with the ground.
Inside the castle, Shepard is watching the rows of lights and dials signifying
T-minus
to him.
T-minus 15 seconds.
15 seconds to go. There is a last, another burst
T-minus
of paper.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Zero.
Ignition.
Ignition.
All right, lift off, and the clock has started.
There is flame underneath the bird. She is alive and lifting, and there goes the Redstone. She's going clean, clean, just as good as can be. There is a hard burst of fire underneath, shockwave streaming from underneath the rocket, lifting as cleanly and perfectly as we ever hoped she would go. This is it, astronaut Shepard. Good luck from every one of us here on a Cape. She's climbing clean and straight. Go, baby! She is climbing as good as you ever want. She's picking up acceleration. He is now being squeezed down. That's it. Paper coming up the side of the bird. She's going through some clouds. Momentarily out of sight there. She comes back again. Her Redstone is going straight up. Going up beautifully so far. She is momentarily out of sight. We can hear the roar. She should be coming back in view in just a moment. So far, that clean roar signifies an absolutely good ascent. She is momentarily out of sight. Out of sight. We are going. She is going clean. A blockhouse is still calling it. That sound is coming down from the Cape. A giant acetylene George Fry.
We still cannot see the rocket at this moment. She's behind some clouds, but we still are getting that roar. Everything seems to be good so far.
This is Freedom 7. The fuel is go. 1.2G. Cavern at 14 PSI. Oxygen is go.
Everything is going normally. The word from Shepard in space.
Our first American into space seems to be going cleanly and clearly. We should see a vapor trail any moment. We cannot see her yet. We still cannot see the rocket from these clouds. She is climbing. There she goes, the vapor trail, clear as a bell. Right on the edge of space itself, she is now programming. The rocket is programming over. We can see the vapor trail, the cloud trail. 70 seconds, going beautifully so far.
Cabin pressure is holding at 5.5. Cabin holding at 5.5.
She is just climbing on out, climbing on out beautifully. The vapor trail, has stopped. The rocket is still continuing to accelerate. Mike, take it from me.
We just heard that his cabin pressure is normal. Everything is all right.
The rocket itself is now out of sight. We cannot see the rocket. She is going out of sight.
With Mercury Control.
And with Alan Shepard on his way into orbit or into space, we're going to take our five-minute built-in hold here at the bottom of the hour, get caught up on news, weather, and sports. And when we come back, we'll hear the rest of this recording of Alan Shepard's historic launch 50 years ago. I'm Jim Behnke. You're listening to WMMB.
And now back to Space Talk on WMMB.
Well, welcome back to our second half of Space Talk on WMMB, brought to you by Space Florida, committed to expanding Florida's aerospace enterprise. Well, let's get right back into our celebration of Mercury astronaut Al Shepard's flight into the history books 50 years ago, as it was heard live on radio on, I believe it was the Mutual Radio Network across the Space Coast and around the nation, featuring the voice of Martin Caden, Ike Pappas, and others. We just arrived into orbit, or right to the peak of the space flight, and now Shepard's going to check out his spacecraft and begin the trip home right away. Remember, this was only a 15-minute flight. So this is a little bit edited here, but especially pay attention to reports of him being splashed down in the ocean and, of course, the commentary at the end of this piece. So, George, let's fire this up and listen to the rest of this little recording here.
Tower has jettisoned. The escape tower has jettisoned from the birds. He is going all the way.
Periscope is coming out.
Astronaut A-OK. Everything is fine with Shepard.
So far, everything is moving perfectly. The man is fine. The rocket is working perfectly. There comes the escape tower. It has been jettisoned.
Yes.
The turnaround has started.
A streak coming close to the air.
Smoke, and we see the
there's the escape tower in front. That's the escape tower. The rocket is completely out of sight.
He's going to hand control movements now.
Shepard is now going to hand control movements. Will manually take over control of his 2,000-pound spaceship.
He's switching to manual pitch.
Everything at this moment is going just perfectly. Just perfectly so far.
Switching to manual control of the pitch attitude.
He is now switching to manual control of the pitch attitude. He will control the attitude of the capsule as it soars up and over into a tremendous arc through space.
Trajectory looks A-OK.
This is OK.
Everything is OK so far. All instruments
pitch
are in
control,
the
green. A-OK.
Switching to manual, yaw.
All A-OK. A-OK, those are the words from
switching
astronaut Shepard in space.
Switching to manual, yaw.
He is now controlling the capsule through several different motions, through roll and pitch and yaw. Right now, astronaut Shepard is in space.
Medical monitor in Mercury Control reports pilot's condition appears to be excellent.
Yaw is okay. Switching manual roll.
He is now rolling the capsule in space. We can still see the escape tower falling down. Escape tower we hoped he would not need, and he has not needed it.
Roll is okay.
He is now weightless.
He is weightless at this time.
At this moment, astronaut Shepard is totally weightless.
On the periscope, what a beautiful view.
What a beautiful view is a quote from Shepard. He's in complete control of his situation. He's doing everything he's supposed to do and more. This man seems to be enjoying his ride. He's calling down a view from space. He will see the Earth curving away. We hope to hear that word from him directly.
I'll cover over Florida. 3 to 4 tenths near the eastern coast. Obscure is up through Hatteras. You can see Okeechobee.
One, tail three.
Identify Andros Island. Identify the reefs.
up through Cape Hatteras from Florida. Astronaut Shepard is reporting that there is some cloud cover. He is seeing the entire coast of America. An absolutely marvelous view from space itself.
Chart retro sequence, in retro attitude, all green.
These are the words we've been waiting to hear. There is nothing wrong in that capsule at all. Everything
pilot
in this
reports
moment
assuming
is
retro attitude, initiating retro fire sequence.
Control is smooth.
Shepard reports mission smooth. He is now turning the capsule to go into a rearward direction. He will now fly backward through space so that he will enter the atmosphere with his back so he can take the punishing 11G force.
Retro one, very smooth.
Retro rocket number one has fired. He is at this instant decelerating.
Retro number two has fired.
Number two is fired. Deceleration continuing. There should be one more rocket to fire.
Retro three. All three retros are fired.
And that's it. All three retro rockets. The entire system has worked just perfectly so far. He is now starting a descent. He is now coming back down toward the Earth. He will slam into the atmosphere with a force.
Trying to jettison the retro rocket pod.
The retro rocket pod that slowed him up has now been jettisoned, blown away from the
capsule. We are still receiving excellent voice communication from the pilot. Everything A-OK in the cockpit.
A-OK. Everything is just perfect on this. Medically, now the heat shield is exposed. A heat shield that will heat up to several thousand degrees as the capsule comes back into the atmosphere. The capsule will return with a tremendous blow to the man. What will happen now is that astronaut Shepard will decelerate with a force
the
of 11 times gravity.
The retro rocket packet has jettisoned. The retro rocket packet has been jettisoned.
Exactly as scheduled. The retro rocket pod has now been jettisoned from the capsule. Astronaut Shepard will increase his body weight to more than 2,000 pounds. He will weigh more than 1 ton when the capsule itself, the 1-ton spaceship, comes
the
back into the atmosphere.
The mission is now 6 minutes and 40 seconds old. Astronaut Alan V. Shepard is still talking to us, working like a test pilot, reporting facts and figures, reporting procedures in the precise engineering manner of a test pilot.
There's nothing to add to that comment. The years of training, of course, have paid off. A test pilot, like many hundreds of test pilots in America, superbly conditioned and trained, a man to a fine physiological and psychological peak for this flight.
Airstrip is retracting. I'm on 5-0-R, going to re-entry attitude.
He is now moving into re-entry attitude, changing the attitude of the capsule so it will re-enter.
Automatic control system operating properly.
He is now leaving manual operation of the capsule, turning it over to the computer, the electronic brain, the automatic pilot inside the capsule, which will guide the capsule into and back through the atmosphere until his parachutes will open only 10 to 20,000 feet above the Earth. And, of course, this is now the most punishing ride of the flight, but the most dangerous parts where the firing of the rocket seemed to be over.
The Mercury spacecraft is beginning to re-enter the Earth's atmosphere. We have a registration in the control center indicating 0.05 G, indicating the beginning of penetration.
The capsule indicating the very first slowdown, the very slightest deceleration of the capsule means he is back in the Earth's atmosphere.
We are still in voice communication with the pilot.
The mission is not yet over, of course. It is in those last final minutes as the capsule descends beneath the giant parachute at 20 miles per hour toward the Atlantic. But even as I talk to you now, out of sight from us, down the Atlantic missile range, off Grand Bahama Island, helicopters are swooping down toward the capsule. They are circling the capsule as it descends.
The Mercury recovery forces downrange report a visual sighting of the spacecraft descending in the parachute.
We have Bob Lodge now back at the carrier Lake Champlain downrange in the Bahamas.
This is the aircraft carrier Lake Champlain. The parachute and the capsule are still coming down on the horizon. They're about even with the clouds now on the horizon. We are about 4 miles away from the spacecraft now. It has still not made its impact with the water. The helicopters are about, I would estimate, halfway to the point of impact. And as we say, the space capsule has not yet made impact with the water. In that lead, helicopter ready to pick up the astronaut, or first lieutenant Wayne Coons, the pilot, and Marine co-pilot George Cox. We're now probably no more than 3 miles away from the parachute. It's becoming very clear now. It's very possible that the carrier will be right close to the space capsule, the spacecraft, as it's being recovered from the water. Swaying gently in the wind. Side to side, first to one side and then the other. It's a good thing there's a naval commander inside, or you might be getting seasick. The lead helicopter is now right at the parachute. It's just top of the hill. They are now hovering over the parachute and will be ready to pick him up out of the water almost immediately. It just hit the water a moment ago. A cheer went up from the ship company watching here from all decks on the aircraft carrier. The parachute is now flattened against the water. And from this point, we are unable to tell how the capsule is riding in the water. But there are four or five helicopters in the near vicinity. The lead helicopter, number 44, is now right over the capsule.
Any moment now, we should have the word that the helicopters have picked up the capsule. This thing has taken exactly 15 minutes from start to end. It has seemed to have gone with absolute perfection.
The capsule is still floating in the water as the helicopter hovers overhead to hook onto the capsule.
You couldn't hear it from the radio from Cape Canaveral, but just now a giant F-106 fighter airplane with one of the astronauts aboard has screamed over the Cape with his afterburner howling, rolling vertically into the sky in the best possible kind of salute we could give to astronaut Shepard from one of his brother astronauts, a victory salute, a victory roll. We are now past that moment in history. America has sent her first man into space, Alan B. Shepard, 37-year-old astronaut of Project Mercury. We are that much closer now to sending our first man into orbit. The flight today, so far as we know, took place at 5,000 miles per hour. A man soared 115 miles high. He was in space. The rocket worked perfectly. The 2,000-pound spaceship, the Mercury capsule, worked flawlessly. Shepard was able to report a beautiful view from space. He controlled his capsule, turned it around, re-entered the atmosphere. Every last single piece of equipment, so far as we know, has worked with absolute accuracy and without a flaw. This is a payoff to a long program with great attention to detail of America not risking her man. I hope America takes pride in what has taken place this morning, because certainly we are proudful of it here now. We will bring you reports as they occur. We will keep you constantly informed. And now, Ike Pappas.
Martin, I can't help but think of how things will be 10, 20, or even 30 years from today when we'll look back on the events of the past few hours and think to ourselves how crude the first rocket flight was. But then I suppose regular trips to the moon will be undertaken by more refined spacecraft, and I can't help but think that this wonderful, strange, and almost otherworldly event that took place today is only the beginning for this country, and that so many greater things are to come, and that many other brave men like Alan Shepard will follow him into space. This is Ike Pappas and Martin Kaden reporting from Cape Canaveral and returning you to our studios.
And of course, after all these years, so many great things have happened, and yet so many great things yet still to come, as there's still so much indecision as to where we're going with our space program. What an incredible recording. And to think that only 20 days later, President Kennedy, with 15 minutes of experience in space, sent us on a goal to walk on the moon by the end of the decade. Just incredible. Well, what a way to end this anniversary celebration. Stay tuned. We got some more ahead for you. I'm Jim Banky. You're listening to WMMB.
This is Space Talk with Jim Banky.
And welcome back as we begin our final segment of today's edition of Space Talk, sponsored by Space Florida. Space Talk also brought to you today by the folks at the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex, where guests can walk beneath a giant moon rocket, see a space shuttle on its launch pad, but not for long, or even have lunch with an astronaut. It's all here to explore on Florida's Space Coast. For more information, hop online and visit KennedySpaceCenter.com. Wow, well, truly an incredible weekend when you think about it here. We've had, Alan Shepard's anniversary celebration on Thursday out at Complex 5-6, the annual Astronaut Hall of Fame induction ceremony, the big dinner Friday night, which I understand was a hit as usual. And tremendous job done by the Astronaut Scholarship Foundation folks. The big induction ceremony on Saturday taking place today at 3 o'clock out at the Visitor Complex. That followed, of course, a Corvette parade in Cocoa Beach this morning. Didn't get a chance to get over there and see it, but I understand they had all sorts of Corvettes and astronauts lined up, a good old-fashioned 1960s-style parade down Cocoa Beach, down A1A, and back and forth. Just a great, great community event. The Atlas launched today. You know, you just it couldn't have been more of a space week if you had planned it in advance. And of course, all those things were planned in advance. I think the Atlas launch today was a nice touch. By the way, the Atlas launch that we described at the beginning of the program, they are about a minute, 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes away or so from the spacecraft separation, the early missile warning satellites separating from the Centaur upper stage. And so we're waiting for that word as well. We'll pass that along to you as soon as we see it confirmed. Calling the launch, you know, we heard the launch coverage by Marty Caden and Ike Pappas on the Shepard launch, the Go Baby Go. You know, there have been times I've wanted to rip one of those lines out myself talking about the launch. You get so excited by it, and it's such fun to hear, to me anyway, it's such fun to hear that kind of old-fashioned enthusiasm, you know, in the part of the people reporting it. I mean, they were clearly, you know, behind this whole thing, and to understand what it meant for the nation, just absolutely incredible. Looking to the future, though, too, you know, it's we spent some time on the past, we spent some time on the present. Looking at the future, got an email here from a young man named Randy in Titusville, age 10. Very interesting question to ask. He says, how long will it be before we see robot astronauts that look cool, like maybe Robbie the Robot, instead of remote control cars like the ones on Mars? It's an interesting question because, you know, those robot cars, Randy, are pretty capable of doing a lot of things that if they looked more like a human, if they looked more like Robbie the Robot or the robot from Lost in Space or even a C-3PO, they wouldn't be as effective in being able to do the kind of science and exploration that they're doing. You really need to design these little machines to work in the environment that that they're in. Now, you've got Robo 2 or R2 on the International Space Station right now, and that's essentially a robot with an upper body with a set of arms but with no legs, but he looks basically like a half of a person. Well, in that environment, that could very well be something that works out very nice, and by having that kind of human look to him might make him more approachable to people, or certainly more fun, and certainly more cool, as you describe it. But I wouldn't necessarily look for robots to be cool just for the sake of the way they look. I think it all depends on what their job is and how you design it. And I'll point you back to the Star Wars, all the droids in Star Wars, all the different designs and shapes that they had. They're all there because they have different jobs, different purposes. And R2-D2 being more of a mechanical droid, he can repair things. You know, he's got that, he's built for that. C-3PO was designed to be a guy that was a protocol droid. He was supposed to be your usher and your helper and your servant. And, of course, by making him more human-looking, that made more sense for that robot, too. So I think you're on the right path and you're asking the right questions, but I think the answer is it all depends on what the purpose is. And just in spacecraft in general, spaceships in general are designed to look certain ways because they serve certain purposes, and if they had a different job, they would look a little bit differently. Let's see, what else is going on today? Well, look, there was a note that went out. Elon Musk, the owner of SpaceX, and I don't know if I'm going to have now time to get into the guts of it here, but I just want to let you know that there's this letter that's out there, and people are constantly saying, how can you, and I ask the questions too, how can you do what you do for so inexpensive? How can you make your things cheaper? Why is it so less expensive to do space flight with you than with anybody else? And he's got good answers. It's the management structure, it's the procurement, it's the way they do their business. And the Chinese were in the news lately because they said they couldn't underprice SpaceX, which, of course, how can China and its communism government say that it can't underprice, you know, free enterprise? It just didn't make sense. Well, Elon put out a note here and talked about the money that his company has spent on various things in the history. You know, he says, And I'll give you the highlights. He says the price of a standard flight on a Falcon 9 rocket is $54 million. I mean, that's it. That's what it costs. He says the average full price of a full-up NASA Dragon cargo mission to the International Space Station is $133 million, he says, including inflation, or roughly $115 million in today's dollars. He says they have a firm fixed-price contract with NASA for 12 missions. So they're going to be able to carry 12 Dragon cargo spaceships up to the International Space Station and back and do it for that cost. He says that he says this includes all the work to do the launch, the spacecraft, all the overhead, integration costs. He says if there are cost overruns, SpaceX would cover the difference. And he says that concept may be foreign to some traditional government space contractors that seem to believe cost overruns should be the responsibility of the taxpayer. He talks about having spent all the money from 2002 to 2010 being $800 million. That's the development costs of Falcon 1, Falcon 9, the Dragon, building launch sites in California, here in Florida, at Kwajalein. And you know, $800 million to do all of that, and what the common disclaimer or rebuttal to that, rebuttal is not the right word, but they're saying, look at the Ares launch tower at the Kennedy Space Center, and it costs, you know, $500 million, basically, NASA said at one point, to do just the launch tower. And yet here's this guy that's done $800 million for his whole company. Just amazing. I'd like to talk some more about that in the weeks to come, because there's a difference between government and commercial, and I think we need to keep talking about that. Well, anyway, it's time to wrap up here. Space Talk, sponsored by Space Florida, and is a production of Myla Solutions. Today, filling in for Aaron, George Medina, serving as my one-day personal chief engineer for Space Talk, and glad to have him on board and helping out. Up next on WMMB is the Home Mortgage Law Show, so you want to be sure and stay tuned for that. Don't have a good plan for us next week, at least nothing to tell you about. Stay tuned on WMMBAM.com for all the details, or follow us on Facebook. I'm Jim Bankey. We'll talk to you again real soon. Have a great weekend.